cassette tape number 2 and message number 3. You remember in message number 1 and message number 2, we took up the subject of God showing himself to us, the one true God. In summary, before we begin our new message, let me say again that God has revealed himself to us in 3 ways. In creation, let me remind you of Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men, you and me, are without excuse. Secondly, God has revealed himself to us in his precious Word, the Word of God, that lives and abides forever. If you would like a copy of the entire Word of God, write to Gospel Truth Publications, P.O. Box 2342, Oshodi, Lagos, Nigeria, and they would be glad to help you. Thirdly, God has revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ, God's Son. Do you remember the verse that we read earlier on in these messages? In John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 14, we find there stated very, very clearly, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So God has revealed his great heart of love and compassion, grace and truth and glory to us in Jesus Christ, God in flesh. Now I want you to come with me as we begin message number 3. What is man's true position before God? Let us see what the Word of God says to answer this question. Again, as in the other messages, we will read many, many parts of the Word of God to answer this question. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 say this: There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Remember, God says there is no difference. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, it says this: There is no respect of persons with God. Perhaps a different way of saying that would be, for God does not have favorites. We are all the same in God's eyes. I repeat, Ghanaian, Nigerian, Malawian, Canadian. God does not see any difference among us at all. Do we not have favorites? Can you not tell which of a man's wives is his favorite because she is sitting on his immediate right? God has no favorites. We are all the same in his eyes because all have sinned. God looks down and says, all are guilty in my presence. He does not excuse the big Oga with his beautiful compound, his endless lace cloth, and perhaps several wives. These things may be a sign of wealth and success, but God looks at him and at the beggar pleading for alms in the market and says, there is no difference. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, the Word of God tells us, man looks on the outward appearance, on the outside, but God looks at the heart. And what does God see when he looks at our hearts, all of us? God tells us what he sees in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. Ah, my friend, does this not put fear into your heart? What does your conduct deserve? What does my conduct deserve? God says he has searched our hearts, he has searched our minds, he knows our thoughts, and he says we have come short of the glory of God. What does this mean, to come short of the glory of God? You remember on the last message we spoke of 4 men. Do you remember them? Chukwuemeka, Muhammad, Okai, and myself, standing on the shore of Inyangibom, the great sea. None of us could swim to America. We would all come short of that goal. And so we have all come short of God's goal. God is holy. God is perfect. God cannot allow sin in his presence. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13 says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on iniquity. Every man and woman born in the world comes short of God's standards. Traditional rulers have certain standards which must be met. I well remember visiting the palace of the Obi of Agbor in 1976. There were certain areas where I was not allowed to enter, and some places where I could enter, and my wife had to wait outside. These men have an historical right to demand certain things when we enter their compound. How much more does the God of the universe, the God who created each one of us, have rights to demand holiness and sinlessness from us? But who can reach that standard? Not one. My friend, the problem is on the inside, not on the outside. Many times I have watched the Oba of Benin in ceremonial procession through the streets of Benin City, where we lived. I knew Oba Akenzwa. I knew his son before he became Oba Ariadwa. And I marvel, I wonder at their beautiful clothes, the pink coral beads from the top of the head down to the feet, the ceremonial swords showing the power and authority of the Beni Kingdom. But suppose I, as an Oibo, were to dress in that way and walk through the streets of Beni, would I represent the authority and power of the Oba? Would I become the Oba because I made myself look like him on the outside? At all. At all. It would be impossible for me, because his right and his authority comes from inside, not just because of the clothes that he wears. And so sin is a problem that defiles us, that ruins us, that spoils us on the inside. Let me read to you from Isaiah 59, beginning at verse 2, and reading to the end of verse 8. This is a description of every man and woman on the face of this earth. Every man and woman who has ever lived, listen well. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads his case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments and speak lies. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die, and when one is broken, an adder, a snake, is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are evil thoughts. Ruin and destruction mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks in them will know peace. Now, my friend, before you begin to point your finger at someone else and say, "Aha, I know people like that," it is speaking of the military. It is speaking of such and such a particular tribe in a particular village. It is speaking of the market women. It is speaking of Kalabuli in Ghana. It is speaking of some other group. My friend, do not point the finger at someone else who has cheated you, or someone else who has been wicked towards you. These words speak to your heart. These words speak to my heart. Because the Word of God says, there is no difference. All have sinned. This is man's true position before God. Our iniquities have separated us from God. Our sins have hidden his face from us. Is there not an African tradition of the woman who was pounding yam? And as she pounded yam, God was living very close to the earth. This was many, many years ago, before. And God pleaded with that woman to stop pounding yam so hard. She was disturbing him. But because she was stubborn, she refused to stop. And so God moved far away because of the stubbornness and the disobedience of that woman. Now that is an African proverb. But I want to tell you that the Word of God tells us in the first few chapters of Genesis that there was a woman named Eve and there was a man named Adam who were disobedient to God. They refused to listen to the instructions of God. And because of their stubbornness and their disobedience to God, sin did come into this world. And because of sin, the curse came. And every man and woman who has been born into this world in the last 6,000 years has been born in sin. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. That is man's true position before God. Spoiled on the inside, not on the outside. There is no difference. The problem of sin is like a stain, like dirt, on the inside of a piece of cloth, which shows through to the outside. So I look at you, perhaps, wearing your beautiful agbada, your lovely blue babariga. And as you are walking down the street with that agbada, I see a stain. So I stop you and say, my friend, there is a stain. There is dirt on your agbada. And so I bring water. I bring plenty of soap. I try very, very hard to remove that stain. The harder I try, the more difficult that stain becomes. It is still showing through. And so I send a small pekin to the market to bring a very large box of blue omo. And I use the entire box of blue omo to try to remove that stain from your agbara. It will not remove. Why? Idefo inside. The stain is inside. And I must work from the inside out to remove that stain. And so the problem that we have before the God of the universe is that sin has come into our life. And that sin is inside us. It is true that it shows through to the outside, but it can never be removed. The problem will never go away until we allow God to work on the inside in our heart. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. If you thought you were a big man and someone said, you are really just a dead banana leaf, covered with the dust of Harmattan, or your beautiful agbada is just like the filthy cloth of the madman who puts mud in his hair, how insulting. And yet all of us, myself included, are just like that when God looks into our hearts. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Have you ever seen the Fulani boys from the north with their sheep and goats? One of them perhaps goes astray and that may lead to their death. I was driving near Jos a few years ago when a sheep wandered away from one of those Fulani boys and moved right in front of our moto. We struck him and that sheep was killed just like that. Finish. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That is our position before God. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 says, we are all under sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 3, verse 11, there is no one that understands. There is no one that seeks after God. Romans chapter 3, verse 12, there is none that does good, no, not one. This is God's answer to the Muslim who attempts to fill the Ibadat, or five pillars of Islam, and to the professing Christian who attempts to keep the Ten Commandments. I have respect for anyone who is careful about doing what he preaches, but will the religious doing of alms, prayers, fasting during Ramadan, attendance at the mosque, sacrifice, or even making the sacred Hajj to Mecca change our condition inside before God? The one who says he is a Christian because he tries to keep the Ten Commandments is no better. We will all fail. It is like cleaning the outside of a clay water pot, but leaving the inside filled with dirt and dead lizards. I even may put a beautiful woven grass cover on top of the pot, very beautiful, done by Hausa traders of great skill. Now I fill it with water and give it to you to drink, but inside it is filled with dirt and death. You would be vexed. You would be very vexed. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 25, woe to you, teachers of the law, you hypocrite! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence, full of sin, full of wickedness. The Bible also says in Matthew 15, verses 18 to 20, the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. Aha, you see, my friend, it is what is inside. This is man's true condition before God. In the north of Malawi, near Karonga, close to the border of Tanzania, there is a huge baobab tree, a very, very beautiful tree. The last time I was there, I walked to that tree, and because it had a large hole in it, I looked inside. The inside of the tree was hollow, and I removed myself very quickly from inside that tree. Do you know why? Because inside that tree were living snakes, many, many snakes. I could see the dead skin of the snake hanging on the wall. I could see the nest where the snakes were living. My friend, I ran quickly from that tree. You see, the problem was inside. Outside, the tree looked very good. The leaves were green. Fruit was hanging from it. And yet, inside, all was wrong. And so, there are many people in Africa and in Canada who look good on the outside, but inside, they are filled with sin. This is man's condition before God. Before we finish this tape, I'm just going to read a few more verses to you. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, would tell us what the Bible says about you if you pretend to be better than someone else, whether you are Muslim or Christian, or whether you are a follower of juju or fetish priest. You are inexcusable, O man. You are without excuse, you who judge, for you judge someone else, but you condemn yourself. For you who judge someone else, you do the same things. That's Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Romans chapter 2, verse 3 says, do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? James chapter 2, verse 10 would tell us this. Whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21 says, the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Romans 8, verse 22 in the New Testament tells us, we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. This is all a result of Adam's sin as recorded in Genesis chapter 3. When we look around, we see that even animals suffer. Plants die in the dry season, all as a result of sin. Job chapter 14, verse 4 says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. This reminds us of what David, the great king, said in Psalm 51 and verse 5. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. What does sinful mean? It means full of sin. Here is the great King David, perhaps one of the greatest traditional rulers of his people who ever lived. And yet he says, I was full of sin from the time I was a tiny baby drinking milk from my mother. We must listen well to the words of God if we would see what man's true position before God is. If King David, the great traditional ruler, could say such a thing, what about Saint Paul, the great apostle? He says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, in speaking of sinners, I am the chief of them. What? Saint Paul, the chief of all the sinners? There are many chiefs in Nigeria. Which one of them, which one of you would like to say, I am the chief of all sinners? And yet Saint Paul could say that. By God's grace, he was saved from that by the power of the death of Christ and his precious blood. We will look at that in further messages. But where does that leave each one of us who has not accepted Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says that we are without Christ, strangers, having no hope and without God in the world. We have quoted more than 20 verses from the Word of God in this short Bible message. These verses clearly show us man's position before a holy God, the God of the universe. In the next study, in the next message, we will look at the results of that position. We thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ can save us from this position. And we should pray for those whom we know that are still lost. Luke 19, verse 10 says, the Son of Man, that is Jesus, has come to seek, to look for, and to save that which was lost. This, my friend, is our position before the holy God of the universe. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you.